The Mercy One Studio.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. It's time to hear from the top Christian litigators in the nation who have come forward to tell us the truth and help us defend our faith.
Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano, is in session.
And good morning, everybody, from the Mercy One Studios in West Des Moines. I wanted to start off with a little bit of a sad note this morning. That's about my friend, Father Dan Gehler, who just passed away yesterday. Unfortunately, he left behind a lot of people who loved him and trusted in him. Dan and I go back many years. He was in my diaconate class, studied to become a permanent deacon. For the 4 years we were together, the 13 of us in that class bonded very well, and we got to know one another very well. We were all ordained together. Shortly after our ordination, Dan decided he wanted to continue his trip and to go into the priesthood, and he entered the seminary 5 years ago. He was ordained a priest. I was privileged to be at his first Mass, and unfortunately, yesterday, very unexpectedly, he passed away. So I want to send out our prayers and thoughts to all of those who knew Dan and who were in the parishes that he served. Dan Gehler was a good man, and we're certainly all going to miss him. The diocese is going to be a little less whole without Dan. A couple other things, and I should say good morning to Gina. I'm kind of ignoring her here while I'm talking about Dan.
Well, it's a sad thing. I know you were very close to him, and he served our rural parishes, which is a beautiful way to be of service to our church family.
Right, St. Joseph in Earling, St. Peter in Defiance, and St. Michael in Harlan, where he was serving. Yeah, and that's what he wanted to do. He told me one time that he wanted to serve small parishes out in the rural area.
I love when a priest knows his calling, mm-hmm. and God provides a way.
That's right.
That's
right.
Nice.
Well, we will miss him. But we do have some breaking news for you right now. The Supreme Court, within the last hour, handed down their two final decisions of the term. One of them had to deal with voting restrictions in Arizona. The restrictions said that out of what it did is invalidated ballots that were cast in the wrong precinct. And it also banned ballot harvesting. That law was challenged, and it was upheld by a 6-3 vote this morning in the Supreme Court. So those voting restrictions are valid, and they are still in place. And the big one that Gina and I were looking for, because we've covered this a lot on the program, California donor disclosure rule has been overruled. By another 6-3 vote, the Chief Justice writing that it imposes a burden on the right of free association. And the donor disclosure law, as you may remember, required certain nonprofits and charitable organizations to provide to the state a list of their major donors.
All nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So
if
I made a contribution to a
including political
a California,
organizations.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I made a contribution to our church, but someone from California also made a contribution to our church, all the donors from my church would have to be disclosed to the state of California.
If they were made in California. If it was something that was raising money in California. Yes.
Oh, so I'd have to physically be there? Or
no.
I thought it included people who Californians who might contribute to
our organization. Included people, as I understood the law, it included people in California who were being solicited in California.
Okay.
And it was the Americans for Prosperity and the Thomas More Law Center who were the plaintiffs in that. They prevailed, and it is a good First Amendment free speech ruling. In both of these cases, the split was 6-3, with the six conservatives controlling, three liberals dissent in each of those cases.
And so good rulings in mm-hmm. terms of our patriotism and the rights to vote protected, mm-hmm. And this 4th of July holiday coming up.
Right.
We can celebrate those. Also, some of the fewer cases in this term that were down ideological lines.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Now, some of the cases were 9-0.
Right.
One of the cases we're going to talk about today was the 9-0, the Fulton versus City of Philadelphia case, which involved, in effect, excluding Catholic Charities and others like that from involving themselves with the city in placement of foster children because they would not place in gay homes.
Right,
same-sex marriage.
The ruling was very narrow, I'm really anxious to hear how that works
and what happens next.
And
we're going to talk to Sarah Perry in just a few minutes, who is a legal fellow at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, about that case and why it is not quite as landmark as we had anticipated.
Well, we kind of hope that they'd use this case to really help us understand religious liberties under the First Amendment.
But it was more on a, I don't want to say a technical thing, but it was technical.
They made it very narrow.
They did. All
Absolutely.
Right. You have a prayer to open us up with?
I do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. Peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of this earth. Turn your way of love to those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. Strengthen us all in hope, and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among the nations and in the hearts of all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Gina. We're going to take about a two-minute break here, and when we come back, we will have Sarah Perry with us, who is a legal fellow at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, talking about that case from Philadelphia.
The Catholic Tuition Organization provides tuition assistance for families to send their kids to our Catholic schools and 65% Iowa tax credits for you. Give to ctoiowa.org.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall. Online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Thank you, Confluence Brewing Company, for underwriting Christ is the Answer with Father Ricardo and for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Father Ricardo is featured daily at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Confluence Brewing Company is located off the bike trail south of Grays Lake, confluencebrewing.com. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production. Hi, we're back, and we have with us Sarah Parshall Perry, the legal fellow at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, who we just talked about a few minutes ago. Were your ears ringing there, Sarah, when we're talking about you?
They were not, but they definitely are now.
Okay, very good. I want to talk to you about this Fulton versus the City of Philadelphia case. We were hoping for a little more of a landmark ruling out of that. We didn't quite get it, and for the listeners who are not following this as closely as we do as attorneys, and for those who don't necessarily understand all the legal jargon involved, can you explain what the case was about and why this ruling is not as widespread as we had hoped it would be?
Sure. And I think that's the right classification of what happened in Fulton v. City of Philadelphia. Listen, we are always eager to hear a victory about free exercise of religious liberty. But in this instance, the High Court had an opportunity to overrule a very bad precedent from 1990 and chose not to do that. So the case is Fulton v. City of Philadelphia. This is about a Catholic social services, a foster agency's religious convictions and where those convictions conflicted with a foster care contract with the City of Philadelphia. So here you have government power butting up against free exercise of religion. The case that I referred to earlier is Employment Division versus Smith. This is a 1990 case, and it is sort of the outlier in Justice Antonin Scalia's panoply of decisions. It is the one time Scalia and I disagreed on what should have been the outcome. But in that case, in Smith, no one had asked the court to review the standard for free exercise decisions. They decided unilaterally and without being prompted to take up a different standard. And ultimately, the decision there was if neutral and generally applicable laws apply to everyone equally, even if they incidentally burden someone with religious convictions, we'll still allow them to stand. Well, the concern was so great, as you know, that it prompted Congress to enact the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and that was in 1993 as a way at the federal level to reinstate what the process had been for evaluating free exercise law prior to Employment Division versus Smith. So in this case, we were really hoping that the court would have an opportunity, and it was the perfect opportunity, where government interflicts with religious liberty over a government policy. It was really a perfect opportunity to overrule Employment Division versus Smith. But here's what the court ultimately did. The court decided that in the case of the foster care contract, and in this contract was a non-discrimination provision. And of course, these are provisions or ordinances that we're hearing a lot about. These are generally provisions not allowing individuals or organizations to discriminate on the basis of LGBTQ identities, right? So we know Jack Phillips at Masterpiece Cake Shop, when he went to the Supreme Court, there was a non-discrimination provision at issue. And here in Fulton, there was also a non-discrimination provision at issue, but it was within a contract. And at that contract, which is required for all 30 foster care agencies in Philadelphia, they had applied the non-discrimination provision to Catholic Social Services and as a result said, we're cutting you off. Well, ultimately, at the Supreme Court level, the justices found in a unanimous decision, 9-0, that this was a violation of free exercise for Catholic Social Services, but on a very narrow basis and without overruling the Smith case.
Now, that basis, I understand that they hung their hat on, was the fact that this was not a rule or a contractual provision that was universally applied because there was an exception in it.
Yes, that's exactly it. In fact, using the Smith reasoning, the court said, okay, we're forced to look at whether or not this law is neutral and generally applicable on its face. And because they said there's a provision in this contract that the city can waive whenever it wants, it was not generally applicable. In fact, oral arguments were very interesting with Justices Kavanaugh and Alito point blank saying, you were targeting CSS because of their religious perspective. The fact that there was no same-sex couple that came to foster a child through Catholic Social Services, and there were 29 other agencies ready, willing, and able to foster, indicates from the record that there was some hostility. But based on a very narrow factual provision, this contract has a non-applicable or not generally applicable provision. Based on our reasoning in Smith, the court said we find it to be a violation of the First Amendment.
Now, as I read the case, it seems to me that if the city of Philadelphia would just change its contract, it would be legal.
Yes, that is, rightly pointed out, a concern, a deep concern that we have. In fact, in his blistering dissent, and it was 77 pages long, and Alito made no he made no bones about the fact that I think he was hoping this would be the majority opinion. It writes like a majority opinion. Like I said, 77 pages long. He indicated, listen, it is so easy to change this contractual provision. You may as well have written it on magic paper that disappears, because it really is that easy. So now, of course, we are faced with the prospect of what happens when CSS reopens its doors in Philadelphia. We're hopeful that the city has obviously taken the message to heart that it got from the Supreme Court, but we know Jack Phillips and his masterpiece Cake Shop series of cases is now in court for a third time for a non-discrimination provision. So it would be very easy to modify what we might see coming out of the city of Philadelphia. We're hopeful that won't happen, but it's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, Gina?
Which would be a terrible shame. The Catholic community in Philadelphia, I saw, has been serving needy children since over 200 years, since the founding of our country, well before the city itself was providing services to the needy children. So that would be a terrible shame. And this ruling gives no help to any other agency that might be suffering the same kinds of problems with their contractual arrangements with the cities.
That's exactly it. Now, as the only religious provider, there was another religious provider, but that provider decided they would adhere to the non-discrimination provision in the contract and actually dropped out of an interest in this particular case. But only Catholic Social Services stood fast and said, we cannot violate our sincerely held religious convictions because we've been fostering here that particular agency for almost 100 years, and they really did not feel that they ought to be compelled, in order to participate in a government program, to violate their religious beliefs. So knowing that there are a total of 30 agencies, and perhaps more now, that are willing to foster same-sex couples or unmarried couples, two things that the CSS agency was not willing to do, they have multiple choices. If a parent, if a couple wants to foster, they could go anywhere else. And there was no individual who had complained, no couple that had complained about CSS or concerning their inability to foster. And in fact, once again, the factual record indicates that there was some patent hostility expressed by the city of Philadelphia. So it's a win, but it is a very narrow win. It didn't achieve Smith's overruling. And we have yet to see whether the city of Philadelphia will go back to the drawing room and rewrite a contract in which CSS is required to participate.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch and see what they do. We've been watching this case for a long time, and it started quite a while ago. But you're right, there was a lot of anti-Catholic animus in the communication back and forth between CSS and the city.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, to the point where a city official, when Catholic Social Services went to meet with the city and trying to negotiate this, to work it out in good faith, the city official told them, you need to, quote, get with the times on gay marriage, end quote. So there was hostility from the start, and I think Justices Kavanaugh and Alito did pick up on that.
And there was no particular aggrieved individual or couple who had tried to have services. Having 30 different agencies says to me that they're serving 30 different kinds of communities.
Correct.
The families.
Correct. That's exactly it.
Right. So unlike the cakes and the floral cases, there's no aggrieved individuals.
Well, and Catholic Charities had their own internal operating rule was if somebody came in and asked, they would refer them to another agency that could handle
it. Correct.
Them. Yeah.
They were more than responsive, again, which it's a victory. We're gratified to see a victory, but we certainly wish it had been a little more outright and making sure that interests not only for CSS are protected, but for providers, for charities who have religious convictions, who act on those religious convictions, are protected when they come up against government action.
Right.
And we have yet to see that on a broader context.
Right. Sarah, we got to take a quick break right now. Can you stay on for about 2 minutes? Because I'd like to get, if I can, your reaction to the Americans for Prosperity and the Thomas More Law Center case that was just handed down this morning.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back after 2 minutes. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading 12-day all-inclusive experiences, sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. Thank you to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for programming of Catholic Women Now partially provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. Cindy Schulte on the web at cindyschulte.com, 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall. Online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
And we're back. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Sharon, thank you. Sharon, thank you for staying over. Or Sarah, what were they saying? Sharon, I was all over the S's this morning. But anyway, thank you for staying over to give us your gut reaction here to these two cases that just came down. The first one, the last one that actually came down, but the one I think we were more concerned about than the other, is the Americans for Prosperity and the Thomas More Law Center, which is the donor disclosure case.
This is a tremendous victory. It was also handed down. There were just two opinions that we were waiting for, Brnovich versus DNC, which upheld voter laws in the state of Arizona and is a tremendous win for state-level efforts to be able to pass these election integrity bills. And in fact, I think some of us are believing that the Department of Justice's lawsuit against the state of Georgia has probably just heard its death now. So yeah, that was one of the cases.
I think you're right. This is a federalism issue.
Yes, it is. Indeed, it is. And Americans for Prosperity versus Bonta, who's the Attorney General of California, was consolidated with another case for Thomas More Law Center. And these were charitable organizations who were obviously seeking donations in California, but according to the Attorney General's provision, his policy, they had to disclose the identities of major donors with the state AG's office. Now, the state says this information was readily available and it furthered the state's interest in policing misconduct by charities. And the charities naturally answered with, listen, this is compelled speech. We don't want to have to violate the First Amendment and our freedom of association to reveal to you donors who would prefer to stay private and anonymous. So each of the petitioners brought suit against the Attorney General. The Supreme Court handed down a victory. Traditionally, we would expect in a freedom of association and a free speech case like this, the justices in the liberal bloc to have dissented, and that's exactly what they did. Kagan, Breyer, and Sotomayor dissented. But the opinion here was very encouraging for us. And in this case, indicating that it might possibly be willing to just fully commit itself to previous precedent, what's known as stare decisis, it referenced a court decision, NAACP, versus Alabama, X. Rel Patterson. And in that case, ultimately, it set up a standard of review for what's called compelled disclosure of affiliation. Well, for people who want to maintain the privacy rights that freedom of association affords them, the Supreme Court said, we're not going to overrule NAACP. In fact, we're going to use it and say that here in this First Amendment free speech and free association case, we actually find the government's interest to be too broad. It is not, as we require by the First Amendment, narrowly tailored to further a compelling state interest. And so both of these charities came out winning, and it is a tremendous victory, not only for conservative organizations who are nonprofits, and I know you and I both know quite a number of them, but also for the First Amendment overall. And they've had two good rulings on the First Amendment.
The donor disclosure law, the Chief Justice said, imposes a burden on the right of free association.
Yes, it does.
Sarah, I want to thank you for joining us today. We certainly appreciate your quick analysis of the last two cases that just came down within the hour. Certainly appreciate it. We'll have you back again. Nice talking to you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, we will be right back with
Faith on Trial.
Our final prayer.
Yes.
All right. I guess we won't be back. We're not leaving.
Oh, well, we have this new half an hour format, and
used to it. Okay.
Well, interesting cases that have come down from the Supreme Court. I'm wondering how they'll affect some of the cases that are in the lower courts right now.
Well,
we know quite a few.
Obviously, they will, because the Supreme Court is the precedent maker.
Well,
so yeah,
except for Fulton versus the city of Philadelphia, that it sounds to me like it won't have much of an effect.
What they did is they followed a precedent and didn't overrule one. That was the problem there.
Okay,
with that employment law case.
All right. Well,
wanted to mention that starting next Friday, Man Up West Power Lunches are going to start up again, and that's at noon on July 9th. Be the first one back. Let's end with prayer right now. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls.
Amen.
For Jean and myself, thank you for listening. Join us next week for another edition of Faith on Trial. Until then, have a blessed and peaceful week.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. Faith on Trial, with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano. Faith on Trial, Thursdays at 10 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio, iowacatholicradio.com, and the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.